one wants something material, he should pray to no one but the Lord to fulfill his desire. If one approaches a demigod for the fulfillment of desires, he is to be considered nashta buddhi, bereft of all good sense. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 20, kamastasta hridagyana prabhadyante anya devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyata swaya. Quote, those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods, follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to his own natures. End quote. Lakshmi Devi advises all devotees to approach the Lord with material desires that according to her practical experience, the Lord is Kamadeva. Thus there is no need to ask him for anything material. She says that everyone should simply serve the Lord without any motive. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated within everyone's heart, he knows everyone's thoughts. In due course of time, he will fulfill all desires. Therefore, let us completely depend on the service of the Lord without bothering him with our material requests. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasadivamo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Supadi Mule Gyanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandas Tadeva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Sangasara Dukkha Jaladau Patitasya Kama Kodadi Nakrama Karai Kavali Kritasya Darvashana Nikaritasya Narasvayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Padavalambam Jaladhara Shashivarno Gopavesha Kishoro Sahachara Ganavandai Krida Manavaje Show Natabara Titave Show Nilapi Tambaradyo Jagada Jananahi To Rama Krishna To Vasmi Vanjakalpatara Bhishcha Kripa Sunabhi Vichapaditan Pavani Bhir Vaishnave Bhionamonama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Panchagoda was chastising me about being late. That's not bad. No. Better never be late is the same. Of course, better late than never is also another saying. Better late than never is the same. But better not to be late is the same. In any case, is actually from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 5. Ami Vigya. The Lord says, Ami Vigya, but I know, why should I give this full material enjoyment? So Charanamrita Diya Vishaya Bulaibo. So I'll give the shade of my Charanamrita from water washing his lotus feet, and he'll forget all his material desires. Then this verse is quoted. It's actually Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Verse 27. Satyam deshetyartato artato nirnam naivartato yad punarartato yata svayam vidate bhagavan anichata ichapidanam nichapadapalavam. If somebody approaches the Supreme Lord with some material desire, asking him to fulfill it, he undoubtedly does so, but not in such a way that the person will ask for something more. But he readily gives the shade of his lotus feet, and by that shade, the person becomes completely free of all material desires. So Prabhupada says in the purport that such person who is approaching the Lord with material desires are told jagasar artharthi gyani. Now that's described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 14. Four kinds of persons approach the Supreme Lord with some desire to be fulfilled. Artha, distressed. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that was Gajendra. Personification was Gajendra. Artharthi, somebody who wants money. Dhruva Raja was an example of that. Jigyasu, inquisitive, that's Shonak Rishi. Gyani, Chatushana, that's the four Kumaras. So these are four kinds of people. Yet Prabhupada also says that they're not considered Sakama Bhaktas because eventually they'll give up their material desires. Now, every single person has material desires. I got a Sada Pramanam on Putradai Kadasi, December 31st in 1914. I was in Moscow. And I got a Sada Pramanam that all-night vigil on Ekadasi fulfills all one's desires. Pretty good. It mentions there that in a previous birth, the jiva that was going to become Prahlad Maharaj, had a fight, one argument with a prostitute. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep. And in the next birth, he became Prahlad Maharaj. Pretty good. That's not bad. People should be absorbed in the Supreme Lord. And if they got a material desire, better to approach Krishna with it. Because Krishna will do the needful. The devotee prays, "My dear Lord, you do whatever you want, but you drag me to your lotus feet because he'll do it." You know, that's interesting. And it's basically karmakanda vichar is basically that we want, that we have so much material desires. So Vaishnavas think, "We'll take that too," because Krishna gives material. Dauji is in charge of material and spiritual development for the devotee. So that's not bad, you know. We'll take that too. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Varada. He maintains his devotee. One devotee was quoting Kanchi Purnam. He offers respectful obeisances to Varada Raja, the best of the givers of benediction in South India, in Kanchi Purnam. So it was very interesting. He asked, "What happens if your devotee dies in a coma and is unable to think of you?" Then Varada Raja answered, "I'll think of him." So basically, Krishna satisfies the desires and he maintains every living entity. Ego bahunam yo vidadati kaman in Katopanishad is a statement. This one person fulfills the desires of all the other eternals. So Krishna, he knows within the heart. He knows what you're thinking of. He knows what you want, what you need. A Vaishnava and Vaishnavi of substance says, Karmadi nirdhati kinchu chabakti bhajan. In Brahma Samhita, it's stated, if you do devotional service to Krishna, your reactions are reduced. So a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi of substance thinks, "I only get the slaps I deserve." Nothing more than that. "I only get the slaps I deserve." Nothing more than that. So one should absorb oneself in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now there's two things. In sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it mentions that if you, an unsuccessful yogi, becomes two things. He becomes Suchinama Srimatam. He takes birth in a family of rich mercantile people, or Suchinam in Brahmanas. And in 10th canto, chapter 88, verse 10, then the Lord tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, "When I really show my mercy to somebody, I take away all they got. Then they considered by their relatives to be penniless. And then such a person takes shelter in me alone. That's when I show my full mercy to them." So who got more? The person who Krishna took everything away and they took shelter of Krishna got more, because they did it in this birth. They didn't have to wait for somebody to take birth again. Go back in the womb of a woman again. Suffer like a dog. This material, what is this material body? This material body is a rogapatra, holding containers of various diseases. 7th canto, chapter 9, verse 25 says, Kvedam kalevaram. What is this body? Asesurajam viroham. A holding container of various diseases. So, everybody, the devotee or the materialist, whether you have all material desires, no material desires, you want liberation, anybody that's got a material body suffers. And the tridosa klesha, ariatmik, aribhautik, aridaivik klesha, tridosa klesha. Miseries of the demigods, miseries of other living entities, and miseries of the mind. Three kinds of miseries. So everybody has to suffer something. Whether you have all material desires or no material desires, or you want liberation, you know. Krishna is Varada, the best, and he is also the maintainer of every living entity. So he'll give you what you need and provide what you want. Now this is also this Teshamnatya Bayuktanam Yogakshemam Bahamiham. Once I asked the deity in Delhi, Parthasarathi, about this. And my realization was that some devotees get reciprocation with the Lord because they give the Lord more. Krishna is not interested in what you give him. He wants what's behind your back. So that's the understanding. I think, they're giving more to the Lord, and therefore the Lord is reciprocating with them. And he's reciprocating less with us because we're giving less to the Lord. That's all. So, Krishna, everybody should give the Lord a lot more. So, we're late. We'll stop now. It's only, what time is it? It's only 8:30 now. Yeah. So we're open for questions. That's nice. You know, questions is really cool. Because if you have a relationship, if you have a question, you have a relationship. And if you don't have a question, where is your relationship? Manishanam and Manu both come from the same root, Sanskrit root, Dhatu. Manishanam means intelligent. And Manu means human being. So if you don't have a question, look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a human being? So we'll take questions if they have it. Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
If it works, be surprised. This is India. If it works, be surprised. That way you're not disturbed when it doesn't work.
You said that if you serve Krishna and you ask him to save you more or less, then he'll do that. He'll deliver you. So the question is, but if you ask Krishna to save you, to deliver you, are you in essence asking him to take away your free will?
I asked the deity that question once. And the thing about bhakti means voluntarily. The Supreme Lord is not going to intervene in your minute independence. Why don't you just drag me to your lotus feet? Why don't you just force me? No, the Supreme Lord will not do that because his nature, he wants love voluntarily. He's not going to interfere. The thing about it is that devotee, the Supreme Lord likes to liberate his devotee. It was very funny. Buri Jayan asked a question in 1975 to Prabhupada. Oh, he was in Tokyo or Hong Kong, something like that. He said, some devotees are not ready to go back to Godhead. Could we desire to take birth and serve the Sankirtan mission? Prabhupada looked at him and goes, don't make me come back to get you. So basically, devotees should want liberation. Now, if the Supreme Lord wants the devotee to take birth again to serve in his pastimes, then Krishna will do the needful. Fulfill the desires of the devotee and help the devotee out like that. But we should really want to be liberated. We should really want to go back to Godhead. But, you know, so Krishna will not interfere with our free will. But, you know, he will definitely use the devotee for his purpose. That's for sure. And whether that purpose is in the material world or spiritual world depends on them, not on us. Or can. Yeah? Jai Jagannath.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada's purport is very encouraging that even though we're chock-a-block with material desires, we're not considered Sarkama Bhaktas, we're just simply ignorant.
Yeah.
So that's very encouraging. However, even after remaining in the Krishna consciousness movement, associating with devotees and shastras for a long time, it feels that this ignorance is not abating. It is just going on and on and on and on and on. Although I carry on with the rituals of Krishna consciousness, the ignorance isn't abating. So then what is my position then?
We're all better than some and worse than others. So, devotees should just simply carry on and think of Krishna. Now, what was interesting is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Amritavani, where he said, it's not enough to engage the five karmendriyas, working senses, and the five gyanendriyas, knowledge-acquiring senses, in the service of Krishna according to our psychophysical nature. That's the beginning of bhakti. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhaktarujate, Padmapurana says. Rather, more important than that is to think of Krishna and to chant Krishna's name at the same time while you work. Then it becomes Pari Bhavita Bhakti. That's what Krishna takes. The mood. Not the item. It's the love behind the item what Krishna takes. So, the intention is there. Tesham Nityabhi Yogdhanam Yoga Kshemam Bahamyaham. Now, Krishna is not a liar. Anything he says in Gita works. He's a cheater, but he's not a liar. The coward boy can never say, yeah, our best friend's a liar. Sure. I asked Narendra Maharaj, because one senior Vaishnava is no longer on the planet, said, Krishna's a liar. If it wasn't for Radharani's love for Krishna, then if Radharani told us to worship Krishna, we'd have nothing to do with Krishna. So if you don't understand that Krishna's a liar, that means you don't understand Krishna properly. So I asked my sannyas guru, how was Krishna a liar? And he said, well, I promised that he would come back, but he didn't. But in Padma Purana, he did come back to Vrindavan. In Padma Purana, it stated that he went to the outskirts of Mathura to kill Dantavakra. Then he went inside Vrindavan, stayed for 2 months, closed up shop, liberated everybody. You know, so that's interesting. So Krishna did. Krishna's not a liar. Our best friends are not a liar. He does whatever he says, you know. And whatever he says in Bhagavatam or in Gita is true. It works. And it was very funny. Sartha Varshini commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 30, it says, Kanteya prati jani hi nami bhakta pranashati. So he asks, now why is Krishna saying, Arjuna, you declare it? Because everybody knows that he's a Vrajavasi and Vrajavasis lie. If a devotee declares that, Krishna has to back it. Or can. Come on, gang. Give me something more. Yeah.
All right. Hello? You hear me? Does Krishna want anything other than love? And if so, what would that be?
Does Krishna want anything other than love? Krishna wants the desire of the living entity. That's all. Krishna, whether you love him or not, kama krodha bhaya dvesha, by intense desire to get Krishna, kama krodha, by anger, bhavet, by Yasoda's anger, kama krodha bhaya dvesha. Krodha is also comes up, bhaya, fear. Dvesha or enviousness, like that. One should worship Krishna. Everybody becomes benefited by Krishna. So Prabhupada was saying, either you become a good devotee or you become a big demon. It's really hard to become a big demon, you know, because Prabhupada was saying that Durga, if she wants to, she can smash and she can kill millions of people. Krishna doesn't have to come personally to kill the demons, you know. But it's a lot easier to become a devotee. The more you serve devotees, the more you're successful, Guru said. Nasangsayat stutad bhakta pariteshu ratatmano. If you serve devotees, you're successful. So our business is, don't doubt it, Lord Guru says. So our business is to love and serve devotees. We're only made out of nothing but the mercy of a devotee. And because of devotees, we're still here. So just love and serve devotees. That's the best thing. And the thing about it is that Krishna will give the rest. It was funny. The last lecture that Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave in Fiji in 2006. Now suppose you felt that you didn't give enough, like a bunya. You think Krishna's got a calculator like a bunya? You gave 70%. Where's the other 30%? Nah, he's Bhakta Vatsal. He's the lover of his devotees. He'll round it up to the next one, or he'll fill it, you know, like that. You shouldn't think that Krishna's like a bunya, like a businessman. He's not like that, you know. Krishna will take care of the devotee. He promises that. He'll take care of the devotee. He's not a liar. In Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever he says, he means it. Or kya? Come on, gang. Yeah. How can we develop the mentality to give more to Krishna? By associating with devotees, by associating with those that really want to give a lot more. There's a joke. You haven't seen your sister in 40 years, you can Google and get her on Facebook. You can Google for any damn thing. So there's a Leela in Dagda Madhava Natakam, chapter 7, about Gauri Tirtha Vihara. So I was designing a stained glass panel. Now, what does Gauri Devi look like? You know, because it's stated in the pastime that Radha, your devotion for the goddess is so good that she stepped out of her form to greet you. So, that is interesting. So, Abhimanyu wanted to take Radharani to Mathura. This black snake is associating with Radharani. So he wanted to take Radharani to Mathura. And he approached Purnamasi Devi for blessings to take Radharani to Mathura. And she put him off. Think nothing of it. But Abhimanyu wasn't persuaded. So she told Vrindadevi, this is serious. You better tell Krishna. So Vrindadevi told Krishna. Krishna was with Padma and Shaibya, two associates of Chandravali, Gopi, in Gauri Tirtha Vihara area. This is serious. We have to stop Abhimanyu from taking Radharani to Mathura. Give me some white disguise that will capture Radharani's mind. So Madhumangal said, I saw Padma Gopi having some white cloth. Excellent, I'll use that cloth. He turned to Vrindadevi and said, you become my sister. She shook her head, yeah, like that. So what does she look like? So Vrindadevi came in there and she said, Gugu. And I was shocked, I did. I got it. It was actually, she has white sari with a golden border. In her forehand, she's got a palm, a citron fruit, a bell, a mirror, and a mala in her hands. So, and I Googled and got what the citron fruit looked like too. So the person who designed the painting for the stained glass panel was able to do that. And then I asked the Sanskrit pundits, look, Krishna is Shama Sundar and Gauri Devi is white. So how did Krishna pull it off? And they said, it doesn't say in the Mool Shloka or in the commentary how he did it. He just said, Krishna said, oh, my disguise is expert. That's all. It was very interesting that when Krishna took that disguise, he was entering the temple making an earring with a peacock feather. And so then Vrindadevi, Padma says, we've never seen her before. And Vrindadevi goes, what? You've never seen my sister, the goddess of Bandirvan, Nikunja Vidya? Krishna thought, well, my disguise is pretty good. No, we've never seen her before. You know, it, when Krishna adopts these disguises in Vrindavan, nobody's seen it before. It's interesting disguise. Like that. It's an interesting disguise. So the only way to learn this is to associate devotees who have it. That's all. That's the only way. That's the only way to develop this intense greed to get Krishna. You know, is those that are how greedy. You know? And it was interesting. As Srila Vamsidas Babaji was asked this question, that how do you get prema? He said one word: call out. You really didn't get it? Call out a little bit more. That's all. Hey, we need something more.
I have a follow-up question to my first one. I was reading in the Bhakti Sandarbha that there are three categories of bhakti, and each of those categories has a duplicitous approach toward it or a non-duplicitous approach toward it. So there's one thing to have just simple desires, material desires, due to our ignorance. But then it seems that it can be another thing when one is purposely pursuing those desires. And this tendency seems to be more augmented, at least I was reading from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It becomes stronger when there's facility to do so, like in an institution. So my question, it's the same question, but just for greater clarity. When our approach is duplicitous, like we're purposely maintaining material desires, purposely pursuing them, and also chanting Hare Krishna because we somehow got to keep the name, or at least keep the show up. And we're having just simple desires due to our ignorance, those two positions do not seem the same. There seems to be a difference between the two. So I was wondering, in light of this greater question.
Well, it's very interesting, as Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. The thing is this, that if somebody's maintaining a facade, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they have so many material desires, then Krishna will drive them out. They'll feel strange in the company of devotees, and they'll leave. They won't bother the devotees any further. It's understood. If somebody's adopting a facade, they will not last. It's either they'll become purified and give up their desire, or they'll leave the devotees. That's all.
So I was listening to your Manushiksha lectures, and to give up lust, anger, etc., that one verse is there. And then the verse after that speaks about duplicity. Mm-hmm. So duplicity seems to be a more difficult obstacle to overcome than even lust, anger, greed, and so on. So suppose we are duplicitous in our approach towards Bhakti Devi, and we recognize that, and just from your answer, there's only a matter of time before we're driven out. What might one do to become free from such duplicity before he's brought out of Krishna consciousness?
Oh, probably nothing. That's basically nothing he can do. The Supreme Lord has to either destroy the desire within the heart, you know. The devotee, by association devotees, gives up his bad quality, or he gets driven out. If he can maintain his devotee, and there's really nothing can be done about that. Like that. Basically, and everybody makes a mistake. Like my godbrother Mahamuni Das was manager in the 1980s, and he said, damned if you do and damned if you don't. You make a mistake, you're criticized. You know, you make a decision, you're criticized. You don't make a decision, you're criticized. You know, so we're trying to serve Krishna according to Krishna's desire, just like the treasure is really intense. So Prabhupada said, everybody will hate you, but I will love you. The thing is that we have to do what we have to do for Krishna. It was very funny that Ganapati Swami told me that in 1976, oh man, we were collecting over $100 a day, you know. And when we came to Mayapur and Vrindavan Festival in 76, then we got 10 rupees each. That's it. Plenty, do it whenever you want. 10 rupees each. Then he told me, he said, I tried to control everybody's senses, and for a whole year after that, I couldn't control my own senses. So it's very interesting stuff, you know. Basically, you can't do anything about it, you know. Don't be surprised who goes. Be surprised who stays. Like that in devotional service. And so, if somebody leaves, it's probably good for the devotees. It's good for them too, you know, like that. It's not so bad, you know. Hey, we need something more. Come on, gang. Yeah, he's got, oh, he's got two over there. Is dead. This is Vrindavan. If it works, be surprised.
Hare Krishna. So, I was asking this question also in yesterday's Bhagavad Gita class. We were talking about free will, that if Krishna knows past, present, and future, and he's the super soul in everyone's heart, then how can we have free will?
That's interesting. How can one have free will? Krishna's not going to interfere with the desire of the living entity. So we have free will in that sense. But Krishna knows everything. As Hitopadesa says, whatever is destined to happen will happen. It cannot be otherwise. So if it's destined to happen, it will happen. At the same time, you know, at the same time, Krishna's not going to interfere with the minor living entities, you know, independence. We have free will. See, it's interesting is that if the mind says something, the only purpose of the mind is to accept and reject on the basis of stimuli. If it's anukul, if it's favorable, then it comes from devotion, devotee's association. And if it's unfavorable, you basically kick it out. Like that. You throw it out of the mind. That's the idea. And if it happens, it happens. So what? If devotees need something, then it's like karma kanda vichara. We'll take that too. It's like side benefit. We'll take that also. Like that. Krishna knows you need it, really. Just like Prishni Garba granted benediction to Dhruva Raja. He wanted a kingdom better than his grandfather Brahma had. Very ambitious, Prishnagarbha said, but I'll grant it. He got the affixed Vaikuntha planet in Ushanara, the pole star. All the planets were circumambulating. And Kuvera tried to bribe Dhruvaraja. I think it's 4th Canto, Chapter 8, Verse 20 or 24. It's a very interesting shloka that, see, Dhruva Raja was the yakshas. One yaksha had killed Uttama, Dhruva Maharaj's brother. So Dhruvaraj got angry and he was killing all the yakshas. So Yaksharaja Kuvera asked Swayam Bhuvamana and Brahma to make him desist. So he desisted by their request. So Yaksharaja Kuvera was ready to give him many benedictions. Who was he, Prabhupada said? The treasure of the demigods. If Dhruva asked for all the cash, he could have got it. But Kuvera said, take a benediction, because he knew that Dhruva is a bhakta. He's not going to ask for the cash. You know? So Dhruva said, please bless me that my remembrance of Krishna will not fade. That's the only way to cross the ocean of birth and death. And Kuvera said, let it be so, and left. So that was one instance of a devotee approaching a demigod. In the 12th canto, chapter 10, verse 34, then Markandeya Rishi was approached by Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi. And so, it takes one to know one. So Markandeya Rishi was absorbed in meditation. And he was meditating on Narayana. And Lord Shiva is absorbed in meditation on Sankarsana. So he knows what meditation is all about. So Lord Shiva entered, and Parvati entered in the sky of Markandeya Rishi's heart. So he was startled. He's meditating on Narayana, and then all of a sudden he saw Parvati and Shiva. So his meditation was broken. He became shocked, and he opened his eyes, and he saw Parvati and Lord Shiva in front of him. So he bowed his head and he says, if you've come into my ashram with a view of benedicting me, then please bless me to have unparalleled devotion for the personality of God and his devotees headed by you. And Lord Shiva said, let it be so. And then he walked out of the ashram glorifying Markandeya Rishi to his wife Parvati. Interesting story. And it mentions that the gopis in 10th canto chapter 30 were approaching Katyayani Devi to get a person like Lord Krishna as their husband. So it says that the gopis weren't worshipping Katyayani Devi, they were worshipping Yoga Maya, actually. All right, even if you want to say, so approaching demigods. Now, Narottam Das Thakur says, don't approach demigods like that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Kali and Kalpataru says, now you want to approach, my dear mind, you want to approach demigods. What for? You know, like this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is also blasting it, worshipping demigods. Our business is, all right, they may be there, they may not be there. If they're there, let's offer them a good bribe. Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis are ready to give prasadam to anybody. No? What to speak of demigods? So if you give, like Lord Shiva in the bazaar, you give him some charanamrit, some prasadam garlands, some uchista remnants of Krishna, then they go, wow, you're really nice. What can I do for you? And you get your work done. You know, it's interesting stuff. So Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis of substance, give a good bribe to them. That's nice. And then you get your work done. So Lord Shiva is known as Asutosh, one who is quickly pleased. And he's also Dira. He's sober. Parvati Devi touched his genital when he wasn't agitated. So he's known as Dira. And so you can tell him, oh Lord Shiva, my bhajan is really Bahushaka, splayed out. And you're famous for being so sober. So, please give me your blessings. And that day, your bhajan will be pretty good. Not bad. It's not bad. You know, Krishna is not ready to interfere with the living entity's mind and independence. He's not going to interfere with the devotee's use of the free will either. But a Vaishnava and Vaishnavi have certain things. We only want to serve Krishna, because by serving Krishna, then automatically you'll get freedom from material desires, automatically, in due course of time. You'll become free. So basically, it's interesting. We don't, that there's a bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's between Kitavali and Sharanagati, right smack dab in the middle. Krishna Nama Dare Katoba. What is the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra? Basically, the chanting from Shuddha Nama platform, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving that bhajan. It's pretty cool. So some people ask me, are you chanting Shuddha Nama? But basically, blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. Something is better than nothing. So we're trying to chant Shuddha Nama. We're trying our best to chant Shuddha Nama. But in any case, whatever Nama we're chanting is better than nothing, better than chanting no name. There is a statement that from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that even if one is chanting the syllables of the holy name, doesn't mean they're chanting the holy name. They may chanting Bhukti Nam, the name that gives material enjoyment, or Mukti Nam, the name that gives liberation, but they may not be chanting the real name. So one should associate with devotees and chant. Just like Prabhupada says to chant in front of Tulsi Rani. We, in Antya 3, verse 100 in the purport, Prabhupada says to chant in front of Tulsi Rani and you make great spiritual advancement. All right. Hare Krishna.
Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna,